For this third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday, the epistle is taken from Philippians chapter 4. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your modesty be known to all men. The Lord is nigh. Be nothing solicitous, but in everything by prayer and supplication with a thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The gospel is taken from John chapter 1. At that time, the Jews sent from Jerusalem priests and Levites to John to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and did not deny, and he confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou a prophet?" And he said, "No." And they therefore said unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? And what sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight his paths, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they that were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, "Why then dost thou baptize, if thou art not the Christ, nor Isaiah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water. There hath stood one in the midst of you, whom you know not. The same is he that shall come after me, who is preferred before me, and the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight his paths. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend Father, dear faithful, let us see the words of St. John the Baptist, the precursor of our Lord Jesus Christ, and see how Holy Mother Church takes these words to heart. And we see this by the application of the words in the liturgy. We see that Holy Mother Church takes the letter, the words, and applies them with their spirit concretely. And we will see, therefore, the importance, the grave importance that these words hold for us, and how we can apply them in our daily life, not only now during the time of Advent, but constantly. For we always read these words, we pass by them, "Make straight the way of the Lord." They have an immediate meaning, to pave the way. But how often we forget how we can apply this daily. And the reason why is because we miss a connection between the letter and the spirit. So we will go to Holy Mother Church herself and find the connection we are missing. Today it is very apparent that we are rejoicing. The words of the introit, the words of the epistle, the rose vestments, the rose candle, all of these things are a symbol of joy, to rejoice. We are encouraged to do so almost to the point of a command. For the rose vestments, that color symbolizes that relaxing of penance from the dark violet to the lighter rose. It is an encouragement for you. You've gone 2 weeks with a penance in preparation. Let us take a rejoicing atmosphere now, so to continue with a great force for the last 2 weeks of Advent. It is a necessity that we relax that bow relax that penance because we are human. It is a danger to put human nature away, to consider that we are above nature. We are human, therefore we need that constant mixture of penance and rejoicing. If we have too much of one, there's an imbalance and a detriment to our soul. So let us mingle this penance and joy as does the priest at Mass. In a way, he symbolizes by putting a particle of the host into the chalice. As he says the prayers, let this mingling bring forth fruit. So as the Mass does this every day, so must we every day take this mixture, for it is very healthy. And as we have the cross every day, so must we have also joy every day. But later in the week, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday of this week, we have the Ember Days. What are these Ember Days? They're not a mystery. Constantly we see them, but do we know what they actually apply for us? They come up 4 times a year. For every temporal season of spring, summer, fall, and winter, you have Ember Days, 3 days to prepare for the coming season. They do not oblige under pain of sin. However, they are a great means of sanctification. They are that actual grace which we are indebted to take. For if we put them aside, we are presumptuous to assume that they will come again. So let us try to take these Ember Days as a means of, again, penance, mortification, in preparation for the coming of our Lord. For every season we have something to prepare for, be it spring with Easter, be it summer with trying to prepare yourself to fight the temptations of the flesh, be it fall to get things ready with the harvest for the winter, or now, presently, with winter, the Ember Days of winter, to prepare for that desolation in spirit or even in nature, and then with Christmas. Again, this shows the wisdom of Holy Mother Church to give you the means of grace that you need, But how often we put that aside. It is not mandatory. It is something we are not obliged to do. If we put away that actual grace, we are presumptuous to say that it will come again. And if we apply this wisdom, if we apply the words of St. John the Baptist to action in our daily life, through penance, what we are doing in reality is to pave that way to our Lord through our penance and fasting. It is as a plow truck in the midst of inches of snow, which will plow through the area to give way to that line of cars which are trying to go to church. We are on this path to heaven, all of us. We need each one of us to take that plow, to take away those obstacles. And that is by doing what these words mean. Make straight the way of the Lord through fasting, but again with rejoicing. And this is an imitation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we see that even at this moment of his nativity, he's born in a manger. He is born on wood. That is the cross. But again, he's joyful because he's going to be the light of the world to sanctify man. Again, the connection between sacrifice and rejoicing. Two elements which cannot be separated. You have water. What are the components of water? Hydrogen and oxygen. If you only have one, you do not have that quenching for thirst. You may take one, but you will not quench your thirst. You may take one element of this Christian life, and you will not quench your thirst. So let us take courage. Let us take advantage of these actual graces, the wisdom. This week, we are presented with Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday as a means of fasting and abstinence. Let us take courage, embrace them at our hearts, utilize them as a way to pave the way to our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us go with the example in mind of those who rejoice but do no penance, those who do penance and do not rejoice. We see in the world today, it is very easy to rejoice and do no penance. It's very comforting to our passions. But what do we see? Those passions override our will and our reason at the fatal detriment of the soul. They may be happy now, but for all eternity, they will have that fatal consequence waiting for them. But then we go to the other extreme, and we see those who only do penance, but do not rejoice. Again, this is a fault. This is a way to destroy your soul. Because what you're doing is you're going to take the burdens which are contrary to nature. So much so that you can lose charity by being so burdened with the cross. And again, as we said earlier, that you put away nature. You forget that it's natural to rejoice, to relax the bow so it doesn't break. So those who only do penance without the encouragement to rejoice at the same time have a fatal consequence, which is usually a break in their spiritual life. But then we have one example to contemplate of that balance between rejoicing and penance. Let us take Padre Pio. We may say that he is the most austere man of this modern world. One who did so many penances, heard so many confessions. We would say he's a mirror of penance. But do we know that it has been said that he was the life of recreation? He was that spark to a recreation, the life, the laughter. So when it was time to recreate, he recreated. That recreation of soul, for he knew the wisdom of Holy Mother Church. He did his penance more often than we do ourselves. But he coated that with a balance of rejoicing, which ended up in a sanctification, a model for us today. Let us take the resolution to do some penance every week, some fasting every week. This is a great dose of humility, and this humility is that plow through the obstacles of life. But let us go with prudence. Let us go to the Virgin Most Prudent, Our Lady, who will help you judge between excess and defect. And you will end up in that virtue of prudence, which is that cardinal virtue to discern what to do in every circumstance. Never take anything to heart without the Immaculate Heart of Mary. She will guide you along this path, which is wide to hell, but narrow to heaven. So we must choose that narrow path through the guidance of Our Lady and through those two rails of sacrifice and rejoicing. If you have a train with only one rail, it will go off. If you have divine revelation with only one rail, you will go off. That's an expression of Protestantism. Only scripture, no tradition. You need both. We need both for our Christian life, to have penance, but to rejoice. Our Lady will help us with this so that we can respond and follow St. John the Baptist as he says, "Make straight the way of the Lord." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.